You are watching Management TV today from the conference TWI and Kata. And my guest here is Brandon Brown. Hello.
Hi.
Brandon, you are a master kata coach from the USA and also a keynote speaker of the conference. Can you briefly explain us what kata exactly is?
Well, there's two parts to Toyota Kata. One is the improvement kata, the other is the coaching kata. Mm-hmm. And it's the unseen practices within Toyota production system that Mike Rother first researched before publishing the book on how they teach people to problem solve, how they teach people to think scientifically. And they use a kata, which is a martial arts term or a form, a practice, a routine, a practice that they repeat every day as they start to do a plan, do, check, act cycles of learning. In other words, they put a plan in place around making an improvement to overcome an obstacle that may be keeping them from performing better, performing at a higher level. And you always have a learner, you mm-hmm. always have a coach, and you always have a second coach in this process. And usually that's the reporting structure eventually after you've practiced for a while. Within the organization. So usually we'll take the senior leader and put them in the place of the learner because we want them to learn how to do the improvement kata and how to do the experimentation. Mm-hmm. Then we move them into a coach and they learn how to ask the questions, the five Toyota kata questions. And then we, in the third month, we usually work with that coach to move into a second coach role. Mm-hmm. And so it fits within the context of lean manufacturing. But it's not simply taking a Toyota tool and putting it in place in your organization like a copy, cut, paste. Mm-hmm. It's more of what we learned about the lean tools and how do we apply them scientifically mm-hmm. to fit our organization. Toyota came up with many lean tools that solve their problems. This is a way of thinking about scientifically about how we solve and create tools to solve our own problems. And mm-hmm. while we may be using a tool from Toyota or based off of a tool that was developed at Toyota, we want to tailor it and have the person thinking about how to solve their particular problem.
Mm-hmm. You are talking about lean structure in a company, and you were also speaking in your presentation about why lean doesn't work. Because so many companies have implemented already lean into their processes.
Right.
And where is the problem?
Well, I think a problem lies in a methodology or a method of implementation, as you speak, of using training events where we do event-based tool training. In other mm-hmm. words, we take a Toyota tool and we use a process called a Kaizen event or Kaizen blitz, where we work for 3 days with frontline people and cross-functional teams, and we try and implement a tool like 5S or a total productive maintenance or one of the other tools within Toyota. And we're teaching how to use the tool, but we're not teaching people how to think scientifically about the obstacles that are keeping them from making progress. And with Toyota Kata, the main focus is that you have an organizational vision and you take that vision where the company wants to be 50 years or 100 years from now, and you take it and pull that back closer to the organization to maybe a 1 year challenge. And we kind of say that's the elephant that you're trying mm-hmm. to eat, you know, and so the challenge is 1 year to 2 years, maybe 3 years out. We practice with 1 year challenges mm-hmm. at the organizations that I work with. And then we come back from there and we say, where are we at now? Okay. Mm-hmm. And usually we have done a value stream map, which is a lean tool. And we've created a current state and a future state of where we want to be, you know, well into the future. And then once we understand our current condition, we can then do the third step, which is set a target condition just outside mm-hmm. our current knowledge threshold, just outside our performance ability right now. And then we use the improvement kata steps to then identify those obstacles keeping us from reaching that short-term target mm-hmm. condition. And those target conditions will be like 2 weeks maybe into mm-hmm. the future. And once you reach that 2 weeks, you've either you've either made that target condition or you reset another one two more weeks out. Mm-hmm. And so you eat that elephant sort of at a chunk at a time, and you do rapid plan, do, check, act cycles around the obstacles to eliminate the obstacles. And once mm-hmm. you've eliminated the obstacles, the path to get to that higher level of performance in the target condition becomes clearer. Mm-hmm. And it's this routine of thinking scientifically. And you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a lab coat or like a scientist would normally, you would think of a scientific thinking as those are only in a lab or they're in a medical field or something like that. This is just the basis of thinking about problems in terms of obstacles and, mm-hmm. and taking this insurmountable challenge that seems impossible and breaking it into smaller pieces. Mm-hmm. And so I think with Lean traditionally, over the last couple of decades, people have just tried to implement it and almost tell people how to do it. This is how Toyota did it, so this is how you need to do it. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always work. Mm-hmm. It's not really involving the people in the process. The events only last 3 to 5 days if you're using a Kaizen event process. That's a great tool. Kaizen events or Kaizen Blitz is a great tool to make a rapid improvement in an area. I've led several in the last couple of years. But I always want to end that Kaizen event with a Kata storyboard. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the challenge now 52 weeks from now? We've made a lot of improvements for these three to four days. Now we need a storyboard and a challenge to be striving for each and every day. We don't want to stop the improvement at the end of that. Or we don't want to hand the responsibility off to one engineer or one industrial mm-hmm. Manufacturing manager. We want to continue to have a learner, a coach, and a second coach mm-hmm. and progress toward a longer-term challenge. Mm-hmm.
For me, as a like, it sounds like kind of learning by doing and experimenting exactly. and not eating an elephant, but just small pieces, incremental changes at all. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's like Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, mm-hmm. and he always said he found 999 ways not to make a light bulb, but he ended up finding the one way. He's experimenting. He's changing things a little bit along the way. And experimenting his way forward with a scientific way of thinking and acting. And he would spend hours, you know, with different cycles of learning. Mm-hmm. So that's a very similar type of a thought process. Mm-hmm.
Today, you were also introducing a book, mm-hmm. Czech translation of the book, Toyota yes. Kata, and you were also talking yep. about it. Can you tell us something about the book itself? What can we learn from it?
Okay, the book was written originally published in 2009, and I heard Mike Rother, the author, speak. Mm-hmm. He's the original author. He and John Shook of Value Stream Mapping, Learning to See, and he researched Toyota and five other Toyota suppliers, I believe it was, and studied their problem solving techniques, and he managed to break it into two parts. He said, "I see people working on improvement with a coach and a learner." And then I see them also doing a routine, mm-hmm. A practice routine of coaching. And this happens every day in front of a storyboard, and they take a small 20-minute time period a day, and they break the learner and the coach away from doing the work, and they focus on mm-hmm. on improving. And so there's really the two parts of the book, the improvement kata and the coaching kata. And this is the 19th translation of the book into the Czech language. And Mike also has a couple of other books, the Toyota Kata Practice Guide, and his latest book with Gerd Ollinger called A Toyota Kata Culture. Mm-hmm. And it's about how to develop the culture and the mindsets mm-hmm. Within your organization. So the book is really, he wanted it, to, Mike told me one time, he wanted it to be a sequel to his Learning to See. I think one of the manuscripts was called Beyond What You Can See. Mm-hmm. Those unseen practices and the unseen coaching practices that you don't see when you tour a Toyota facility. But I think the publishers wanted the name Toyota in the title, and so he got the rights to put Toyota on the title, and it became Toyota Kata. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For me now would be very interesting, and also for our public, your practice, because your practice is impressive for all over those years, and also maybe relation to DMC company was organizer of this conference. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about?
Well, I went to a t- TWI, Training Within Industry conference, and I was doing a Toyota Kata workshop there in San Antonio, and I think this was in 2015 or so, 2000. I'd been practicing Toyota Kata for about 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. and I was giving a talk, a presentation, as well as a workshop. And Yitka from DMC attended that workshop, and she was there to study more about training within industry, and then that was, I think, some of her early exposures to Toyota Kata. And we made a connection there in that class, and she wanted to learn more about it, and so she networked, I believe, with Mike, and talked with different ones in the industry about translating the book into its 19th mm-hmm. language since that time. And so we're just now bringing it into the Czech language in the native language. So I think it'll be a lot easier for people in the Czech Republic, and mm-hmm. as well as Slovakia, to understand what the book is all about as they've translated it into the language. So as far as practicing, I've been practicing since about 2012. With well over 50 or 60 companies. Right now, our organization has about 150 improvement katas going on right now, and about 12 advanced group or shepherding groups. Our largest client is within healthcare. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that that is unique about Toyota Kata, is that it's not industry specific. Mm-hmm. It's teaching people to think scientifically, whether you're in a healthcare organization and you're working in a hospital and you care for people as a service, or whether you're in a banking industry or IT. I've met colleagues that work in the information technology mm-hmm. industry and develop applications and programs and use Toyota Kata to kind of break through some mm-hmm. of their barriers, as well as manufacturing. So it's content neutral. It doesn't really restrict itself. The practice of it doesn't restrict itself mm-hmm. to only to manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. So it's universal methodology.
Mm-hmm. Pretty mm-hmm. much. I use it at home with my sons. Both my sons. Yeah, they have a Kata storyboard, and one of them is on. One of my sons likes to play instruments and likes drama and acting, and mm-hmm. and he's the school mascot for the team, and we use Kata to try and help him improve the acts that he puts together, the skits, the routines that he puts together. And then my other son is more of an athlete, and we've got a Kata going on around his schoolwork and his student his grades, as well as his two sports that he likes to play. And so we know both of them know their current condition and what we're striving to achieve a month from now, where we want to be. And so and there's a lot of people that have used it at home mm-hmm. as well as me.
My next question is about an example of a company who have a great experience with Kata, because I've already read about one company which earned about $1 million by using Kata methodology. Can you tell us something?
Yeah, a company that I worked with in around 2015, we did an 18-month deployment. And the company is MPG Cloyes Gear mm-hmm. Company in my home state of Arkansas in the United States. And what was unique about that, and I think kind of set the bar for me as far as how to deploy this, was that the vice president of quality and continuous improvement, the plant manager, the director of quality, the human resource manager, mm-hmm. all of the top senior levels, all the way up to the president of the company, came to the one-day workshop. And they actually attended it 3 times. Mm-hmm. And so they did their homework, and they began to understand what this was about. And I explained to them, I said, the highest in the organization we can go, the more successful you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And they really understood that. And the vice president, John Brandt, said that, if I'm going to practice this, if I'm going to teach this and coach this, I need to learn it first. Mm-hmm. And so that whole group went through a value stream mapping. They went to the shop floor, they did time studies, they came back and they did the improvement kata on two lines, and one line was performing, they had about 80% of the volume for the customer, the other 20% was a foreign source, mm-hmm. and they were running 6 days a week, 3 shifts. The previous year they had worked every Saturday. Mm-hmm. The people on that line didn't get a Saturday off. And they worked it on that line, and then they used it on another line that was performing pretty well. What was unique about it was after they learned it, the senior leaders learned it, they became what we call the advanced group, or at Baptist Memorial Healthcare, another healthcare company, they call it a shepherding group. Mm-hmm. And so they learn it first, and then they start to teach it and coach it to other people. And so we then expanded out to other areas. We went into the press area. They make, Cloyes makes gears for automotive transmissions, different parts, and they use a process of powder metal pressing. And so we then expanded it horizontally into their press mm-hmm. department. And in total, over the course of the first 9 months, they had deployed about 11 improvement katas. Mm-hmm. And then they went to a plant, a sister plant that was close to them in Paris, Arkansas, and we started deploying it there. And when we started there teaching the same classes and teaching the same value stream mapping and teaching the kata classes, that vice president, that director of quality, all of them came to that plant and they participated and taught part of the course. So in the first round, I was teaching most of it to them, and then in after about 9 months, when they became very comfortable with it, they taught it part of it, and I taught part of it, mm-hmm. along with another colleague. And we started deploying it at the Paris plant in Arkansas. And that facility ended up launching another 11 improvement katas. So in the course of 18 months, they had 11 different areas. 22 different areas, 11 in each plant, that were striving toward challenges. Mm-hmm. They eventually, that first line ended up being able to produce in 5 days about 30% more than they were producing in 6 days. Mm-hmm. And so that cut out the Saturdays, that cut out the overtime. They ended up bringing in that business from the foreign competitor, so they had 100% of that business. And in all, 11 of those 22 have been completed, and they saved around a little over $1 million in savings. But I think if you read some of the comments on my website and some of the comments that they made, it really changed their people's way of thinking about continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. And this was in a union shop, so this wasn't in a shop where the people didn't have any say. They had a union going on, and the management worked very well with the union, and they saw that they needed to work together in order to be able to make these improvements. And it really changed the thinking and changed the culture within that company, and they've continued to create their own trainings around kata, their own methods of training people. Mm-hmm. So it's been very successful at that company.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some challenges that company have to face. What are those major challenges?
So if I go back to that early example, the one line that was producing product in six days, they were producing around 5,000 parts. And in order to meet the customer demand and get the other business, they needed to produce about 8,000 parts in a single day. Mm-hmm. And so when we started the kata in that area, they started looking at their machining these gears down to the micron. I mean, down to the width of a hair is how precise they have to be. And they had some gauging equipment, some automatic mm-hmm. robotic gauging equipment that the parts would go onto the gauge, and if they hadn't cooled down to the right temperature, the gauge would kick it off as being a bad part. And then part of the parts would have to be reworked or put back into the line. Mm-hmm. And as they started looking at it, the time that it was cooling down became a factor, and they began to run several experiments on the temperature of the parts when they were doing their measurements on this auto gauge. And they actually found out that they needed to cool the parts down faster at a certain part of the production process. From there, that allowed them to get about 6,000 a day to 6,500 pieces per day. And then we went back to the press that supplies that area, and that press was running parts for everything in the plant. And so we just asked ourselves a question, could we challenge ourselves to have this press only run the 3 or 4 parts that line is machining? In other words, 80 to 90% of the time, we're only going to run the parts, what we call a value stream loop. We're only going to run the parts that supply this one line. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the scrap on that line was, from the press department, was about 6% scrap. And over the course of about the next 3 to 4 months, as the press department started using the improvement kata on how they set up, and they would start to set up the press correctly each and every time. There were fewer changeovers, and they were able to get the scrap down to less than 1%. Mm-hmm. And so then, obviously, if you've got better parts coming to the machining area, then their ability to be able to produce without making mistakes or flaws, they're dealing with better quality products, their production went up. And so within that first year, they went from producing 5,000 a day to over 8,000 parts in a day. And the people were just amazed. They had never been able to produce that amount of time, that amount of product in just 5 days. It was taking them 6 to sometimes 7 days to get that amount of product of 8,000 a day or 40,000 parts in a week. And so that's just an example of them really focusing on a quality problem and tying two production areas together to be able to produce a higher quality part. And it was really better for the people. They, I remember the supervisor, when I first went into the facility, you know, you would just ask him questions like, hey, how did it go this weekend, you know? And, well, we worked on Saturday, and Sunday, you know, I just kind of watched TV with the family and things like that. And then about 6 or 8 months into it, when the Saturday stopped, he said, oh, we went and watched a baseball game in Dallas, and my wife went shopping, and then we stayed down there for Sunday. And then he was telling me all these, you know, great things he was spending time with the family that he wasn't able to tell me he could do before because he was in there working on Saturday. Mm. And so for me, that's what gets me up out of bed every day. It's great that they saved the money, and it's great that they brought the production in, and it sustained the jobs in that area. Mm. But to see the difference in that supervisor's life and his quality of life and how much happier he was and how much happier the people were, that's really what motivates me to continue to do the deployments of Toyota Kata.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, I have a last question, or maybe a call for you. There are plenty managers, leaders of different companies. Do you have any message for them?
You know, not every Kata deployment has been successful. Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing that a leader of an organization needs to look at is that even though they may be at a plant site leader level, or maybe they're at a vice president's level or a CEO level, you can practice Kata at any level of the organization. And just as I said in the conference, it's kind of like learning to ride a bike. If you've never rode the bike yourself, it's hard to teach someone else how to ride the bike. Mm-hmm. You may have seen people ride bicycles and you may have seen bike races, but you don't know what it's like to actually do an experiment and make a mistake and not be afraid to make a mistake and not be afraid to say, well, I don't know the answer, but I know this is an obstacle and I'm gonna practice the Kata to overcome it. I've had companies that are like MPG Gear where the vice president said, I need to learn to do this myself. I need to learn to ride the bike, so to speak. And then I've had other companies where the leader, the top leader that says, well, I don't have time, that's for the engineers to do, or that's for another group to do. I pay people to do that. They're not as successful. They just simply aren't. They can't coach and teach the process at a strategic level if they haven't done it really at the process level. And so I've got a lot of people within healthcare. We have CEOs and chief nursing officers. We're talking high level people in the healthcare industry. They may not be able to do the experiments, you know, at the front line with the people doing the work, but they can do them at a strategic level and practice the improvement caught on how they improve their strategies and learn the routines that way. So I would say to any of the companies that are thinking about doing it, this isn't something you start at the frontline supervisor and work your way up. That's kind of like swimming upstream. You need to start as high in the organization as you can. Mm-hmm. Learn the process, and then be able to teach it and coach it to others in the organization.
Mm-hmm. Brendan, thank you for our short interview. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.